Praise the Lord, church family. It is good to see everybody in the house of God this evening. I'm going to go ahead and get into a prayer over our service. Lord God, we thank you for this evening. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us back into your house. Thank you, Jesus, for having your way, Lord God, regardless of what the situation might look like. Thank you, Jesus, for always showing up on time. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way in every need, Lord Jesus, in every saint, Lord God, this evening. We pray that you would minister, Lord God, to our hearts and to our minds, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would touch the man of God as he teaches, Lord, that you would use him for your glory in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would get glory and praise and honor, Lord God, in our praise and in our worship. We pray, Jesus, that you would cover those who are still traveling, that you would bring them back home safely, Lord. And we pray, Jesus, that you would continue to have your way in our weeks in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You see the side of me that no one else can see. You know the depths of me beyond the surface things. I cannot hide from your presence. You know my weaknesses, and Lord, you know my flaws. You see the unseen war with every impure thought. I am the worst of sinners, but you reach beyond the fray, the fray, and give mercy and give grace. And you love me anyway. I don't deserve it. And you choose me anyways. Oh, how amazing. Oh, how amazing. You took my ashes and gave me beauty instead. Breathe life into parts of me I thought would never live again. I cannot help but adore you. You gave your life for me while I was still in sin. I turned my back on you, Lord, you took me back in. How can I ever repay you? Oh, praise be to your name, cause you took away every stain, and you love me anyway. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And you choose me anyway. Oh, how amazing. Oh, how amazing. And you love me anyway. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, and you choose me anyways. Oh, how amazing, oh, how amazing. There is no greater love, there is no greater love than yours, no greater love than yours. There is no greater love, there is no greater. Gary McNeil to the platform to bring forth the word.
Thank you, Sister Tyler. No greater love. No greater love. Scripture says something about no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. I'm so glad that he laid his life down for me. I'm so glad for what God done for me. Amen. Well, we want to say good afternoon or good evening and welcome to Grace Gospel Worship Center, you in the building and you that are online, to our Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. We're happy to be with you tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor asked me to do this Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and I went back and looked through some of my Bible studies, and the Lord laid it on my heart to do fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The Lord also just gave me this, Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 16 through 22. It reads like this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Amen. You may be seated. See, ain't no law against the fruit of the Spirit. Ain't no law against that. That's all good things. Amen. What is your favorite fruit? That's the question. What is your favorite fruit? I'm not sure if my favorite fruit is a fruit. I've become partial to watermelon. Although I'm partial to strawberries and peaches and things of that sort. but I'm real partial to a watermelon. I tell you, I hear stories about people in watermelon patches. I'm kind of glad they don't have them like they had them back in the day, because a watermelon patch wouldn't stand a chance. There is this great promise for the people who live right. The promise is a fruitful life. Now, Psalms 1 and 3 tells us, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, being fruitful can mean many different things. It can mean having a lot of children. It can mean being prosperous or flourishing, having a big house, having a jet airplane, having a whole lot of things. Or it can mean all of that is nice. But there's another meaning of fruitful that is essential to a Christian. To best explain it, let's look at something that happened the day Jesus triumphed an entry into Jerusalem. Jesus was hungry and saw a fig tree. He went to see if it had any fruit on it. He was hungry. He needed something to eat, but it had no figs. So he cursed the tree. He cursed it, even though it wasn't the season for fruit. He said, no one is going to eat fruit from you ever again. The next morning, Jesus and his disciples went past the tree, and it was dried up to the roots. Why did Jesus curse a fig tree for not having figs when it wasn't the season for it to be bearing fruit? Well, fig trees do bear fruit twice each year, in the autumn and in the fall. As one might imagine, in the late spring, smaller fig trees grow from sprouts of the preceding year. But this was before the Passover, so it was early in the spring. So what would make the Lord wonder if it had figs? Well, it was the fact that it was full of leaves. You see, this fig tree being full of leaves said to the Lord that you should have something to eat on you. So it was reasonable that Jesus expected it to have fruit. See, God knows each and every one of us. He knew this tree. He made the tree. So he knows what kind of fruit should have been on the tree. Us as Christian, God knows what we have in us and what we should be doing with what we have in us. All right. You see, you can't call yourself a Christian and just sit around and do nothing. It was because the tree had no fruit that Jesus cursed the tree. That sounds drastic. Let's not forget that Jesus, he made the tree. He is the creator, and this tree didn't measure up to his standards. This is no different than a potter expressing his sovereign will over his clay. When a potter makes something and he's spinning it on the wheel and it has a flaw in it, he can crunch it up or destroy it, if you will, to make it mullable. Mullable means to to hammer or press permanently out of shape without breaking or cracking easily. He can take that pot, that clay, and ball it back up and put it back on the wheel and remake it. You see, that's what the Lord did for us. We were messed up. We were on the wheel and fashioned in a certain way, but we were messed up. And God said, well, let me destroy that and make it again. I'm so happy that God can redo our lives. See, when I was younger and grew up to be a man, I went my own way, so to speak. I mean, I grew up in this thing. My mother made us go to church. When you're a child, the Bible says to bring up a child in the way it should go. So she did what the Word of God said to do. Bring us up in the Word. But when I became a man, I decided I wanted to go out and do the things that I wanted to do. But thank God that He had mercy and grace to allow me to come back and get my life right, to be able to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and my life to be straightened out. A creator has the right to do whatever he wants with his creation. He can pass sentence and execute that sentence. See, that's what the folk in the world, I don't know that they don't get this thing, because there's going to be a judgment. God is going to pass sentence. I tell you, I'm at a point now in my life where I can't take a chance. I can't, when I was younger, I played craps. You know, when you're playing craps, the winning numbers are 7 and 11 on the first roll. The losing numbers are snake eyes and I believe it's, I don't even remember. But you're literally playing craps with your life when you're not in the house of God now. Because as we look out in the world and we see what's going on, the Bible is fulfilling itself. It's going to happen exactly how he said it's going to happen. So I'm at a point right now in my life where I can't play games. I'm too afraid to take a chance. I'm afraid because I don't want to go to hell. I've read what hell is like. Gnashing of teeth. Torment. Endless torment. I can't take a chance with my life right now. But the world is willing to take a chance. We have people that are, they're taking a chance.
Every day.
Because we don't know when the Lord is going to come. But there was a greater reason for cursing the tree. Jesus was able to teach his disciples and us a very important lesson, a lesson about fruitfulness. God looks to find fruit in the lives of the believers. In other words, he just didn't save you so you can sit back and wait for him to come. He saved you so that you can go tell someone about the Lord, so that you can be a witness. You see, you don't just get saved and you say, well, you know, I'm safe and it's all about me and none else. It's about a dying world out there that we ought to be speaking to. God looks to find fruit in the lives of his believers. Perhaps the most quoted verse in the Bible is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a word in the verse that is often overlooked. I put a little emphasis on that word. That word is should. It indicates expectation. It said, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say will not perish. So it's not a guarantee there. It's not a guarantee. See, I think people looking at this thing wrong, like, well, I hear people say that, you know, I serve a merciful God. You do. Yes, you do. But you serve a God that's also going to judge you in truth. He's going to judge you. That part they overlook. I think they assume that, well, he's just going to have mercy and overlook all my flaws. That's not what the word says. The word says, judge yourself and you need not be judged. Ain't that what it says, Bishop? That literally means that if you live right and do what's in the word of God, if you live by this book, that all God can say is, come on in. Welcome. Enter in by faithful servant. That's all he can say. But you must judge yourself by this word. And what that verse really means is if you don't judge yourself, then guess who's going to judge you? God's going to judge you. And if your life is not right when he opens the book, we've heard pastors say it 1,000 times. If your life is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you got problems. I'm afraid, church. I'm afraid. A long time ago, I went and saw that movie, The Rapture. I think I'm still scared from that one time I saw it. When I think about it, I said, man, I hear my auntie talks all the time about it. I can't go to hell. I can't do it. I've heard Sister Tammy teach on Revelation. You online, go back and watch it. If it does not scare you, if it does not put the fear of God in you, there's something wrong with you. I mean, we live in a world where being here in the United States, it's a wonderful thing. We live in a free country. It ain't the best country in the world, but it ain't the worst country in the world. I mean, there's things that needs to be fixed, but we all are blessed. But even with all that, when the Lord comes and raptures the church, if he don't take me in death, I want to go with Jesus. I do not want to be here. Whoever believes in him should not perish. Should is used to indicate an obligation or duty of correctness. Now, Jesus intends that we would have eternal life, but should implies that believers might miss God's eternal plan for them. There are going to be some that's going to miss it. Our profession to believe is a visible sign that God is our life, in the same way that a tree puts forth leaves, showing that it has life. Yet the outward appearance is not enough. God comes looking for the fruit that should accompany belief. In other words, you just can't, you know, some people think, some people get up on Sunday morning and go to church and never feel God, never repented for anything. Just the fact that they got up, drove to church and went through the doors and sat down and listened to the man of God preach, they feel that's enough. They feel they're actually all right with God, that they're saved. They figure they can go out some Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and live and drink and do what they want to do, but as long as they bust the church doors open on Sunday, they're all right with God. That's not what the Word of God is talking about. That's not living right. I believe the Word says, come out from among them. Be separate. Meaning, you can't go out there and dance with the world Monday through Saturday, and come in on Sunday and assume that you're all right. If you're going to be one of His, you got to be it 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. You got to proclaim Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. With the fruits of righteousness in you, you can't go out and live like the world. Matter of fact, you're not even going to have love for the world without the fruit of righteousness. You ain't going to, I mean, you may have joy for a few minutes when you get your head twisted a little bit, but when it all boils down, as I look back over my life, and I remember some mornings waking up with a headache so bad that I said to myself, why am I doing this? Not to mention I was broke. I spent money that I didn't have. And I tell you, when I came to the Lord and I gave all of those things up, He gave me joy. Unspeakable joy, peace, love. I have love for my fellow man. My life turned around. I don't wake up with a headache. I've spent nights here at church where the Holy Ghost, the cloud of smoke was in this place where the Lord just came in and showed out. And I woke up the next morning and said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't have a bad headache. I had, my body felt good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Philippians 1 and 11. Did I get that one, sis? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That is what He expects to see in every Christian. Some believers only provide lip service or leaves. Their profession of faith in Jesus may be plentiful, but pointless, if not accompanied by righteousness. They are of little use to God or others if they only talk the talk and do not walk the walk. Some people can come up and have a real Christian conversation with you. And then 2 minutes later, you hear them say something and your head is like, what happened? See, they just walk in the walk. If I look the part, well, you can look the part all you want. And you may fool me, you may fool the bishop. But there's one you can't fool. You can't fool Jesus. See, He knows your heart. He knows what you're doing. Just as you would be of no value to God or His kingdom if you claim to be a believer, but your actions said otherwise. Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. So that does not mean our righteousness saves us. No, not because the righteousness Jesus looks for is in our lives, for in our lives isn't ours, it's his. See, his righteousness. The fruit he wants to see actually comes from him.
Right.
Not from you.
Right.
You can't get it any other way. You can't go buy it.
Right.
You got to get him in you. You got to have something in you. If Christ is not in you, more than likely, nothing good is going to come out of you. You're not going to have love for your fellow man. You're certainly not. You just can't. I look back now over my life before Christ came in. I didn't have, man, I was evil. I was mean. I drank. I lived like the world. You're going to live like the world out there. In Hosea 14 and 8, God says, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is that fruit found. His fruit is our life. By abiding in Christ, as Jesus said in John 15:5, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, without him in you, you ain't of much good. You just ain't of much good. You're not going to do good. You're not going to act right. You're not going to do a whole lot of things right. You're not going to love people. You're just not going to be a happy person. You see people that go out and do certain things in the world, commit murder, and they don't have a love for people. They don't have Christ in them. He wouldn't let them do that. With Christ in them, they couldn't do that. They're not able to go out and kill someone in cold blood. If the fruit of righteousness is present in your life, it comes from being in the will of God, allowing his influence in your heart. You see, with his influence in your heart, you can only do good. God's not going to have you out there doing ungodly things, smoking, drinking, in places you shouldn't be, with people you shouldn't be with. He's just not going to have it. Your actions then will match your words, and you will be meeting God's expectations for your life. See, God has expectations for your life. Oh, yeah, he's got a plan for each and every one of us. It's not for us to just sit idly by and wait for him to come. That's not it. He wants us to go out and be witnesses for him. I mean, none of us would be here today unless somebody invited us and told us about Jesus. Somebody, whether it was when you were younger, a child, your mother, with me, it's generations. I look back now when I was a child, my grandmother, my aunt's mother, they were all in church. That was their conversation. Their conversation was Jesus. I never saw any of them drink, smoke, curse. I never saw those things. Their conversation with us was learn your Bible verse. You're going to Sunday school. Oh, you was going to church. You sick, you got a stomach ache? You'll be all right. God will heal you. Come on in this church. They knew every little trick in the book. And boy, we had some. I could play sick with the best of them. And they give me love and give me sympathy and say, you still going to church? You still going to church? You'll be all right. God will heal you. He'll heal you on the way to church. You'll be all right. You know, as I look back now, I thank God for that. So come to God and let him show you how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. That's fruitfulness. See, fruitfulness is doing what God expects, giving your life to the Lord, living right, acting right, being a witness, talking about Jesus. You know, I've learned since I've come into the government that, Tyler, I'm almost done, if y'all coming up. I've learned that since being in the government that you meet all kinds of young folks, and they like to talk about a lot of different things. Today in the world, people's conversations are a lot about what is going on in government. But I take that opportunity to tell the young folk about Jesus, to tell them about the man from Galilee, someone that can change their lives, because people are looking for something. And a lot are looking at politicians. The answer is not there.
Right.
I don't get into a discussion about politics with them. I simply, when the door opens, and they're talking about politicians, I tell them, I say, hey, look here. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Because first of all, man can't do any more than God allows him to do. God has a plan. And that plan, man can't deter it. Man can't deter that plan. It looks a little crazy now, but I believe they have a song out where they say, just hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. If we hold tight to God, we'll make it through. The word of God says, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We're not going to go hungry. We're going to be all right. We're going to have the things that we need. God is going to provide for the church. He's going to provide for the church. So let's not get our eyes on what man is doing, and let's get involved with what God is doing.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, that's my Bible study for tonight. I hope you all got something out of that. You online and you here in the building. I believe this Sunday is our All Nations. So you online, I believe it's a sign-up thing on the website.
Yeah.
Where you can put what kind of meal you're bringing and what's in it, because we don't want anybody that has allergies and things, that nut allergies or things of that sort. We want to be able to let people know so no one gets sick. Because not everybody can eat everything. But come out with us and join us.
Amen.
The pastor will be back then, and I'm sure he's coming with a great message. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll see you Sunday, and good night. Amen.